try to explain and understand.
What up? What up? My name is Reverend Christian Jansen. This is the Mystic Journey. I'll be your co-journeyer for a minute. 20, 30 minutes. And today's topic is there is nothing to do. This topic came up a couple times in our Mystic Monday gathering that we do here in Atlanta. And one of the brothers in the meeting, which I really love and appreciate, he said, you know, part of me understands what you mean by that. There's nothing to do. But there's another part of me that thinks this bullshit, because there's a lot to do. And I get that. So this might be hard to digest, so I'm going to ask you to stick around for us to get through this whole thing. This is like a thought. It's going somewhere. Or maybe it's not. But stick around and find out. There is nothing to do. No challenge to overcome. No business to build. No one to choose. No dream to suffer for. No goal to meet. There is nothing to do. And when you realize this, when you really accept it, that's when you are free to do it all. The issue with doing is that we become overly attached with the outcome of the thing that we're doing. You know, if I only had more money, a bigger house, more influence, more likes, more subscribers, more donors, more, then I'd be okay. The reality is, if you were recently, what happened was, check this out. What happened was, I got this reminder on Facebook, which is probably the only good thing Facebook is for now, is reminding you of your past. But this was a good reminder. And the reminder was 5 years ago on this day. And we were recording in this very studio. And we hadn't formed the nonprofit. We hadn't built the community. We hadn't met the key people who are part of this ministry. We hadn't met them yet. And it was my friend Danny. She was my co-host. My wife Leslie, and we had some cameras, and we were just doing the thing. And if you would have told me on that day 5 years ago, Christian, in 5 years, you're going to have a group of donors who are going to be donating to you. This group of donors is going to make it possible for you to travel across the country and share stories of overcoming addiction, of overcoming mental health disorders and abuse. You're going to be traveling all over, and donors are going to make that possible. You're going to have an app, and it's going to have over 100 recovery stories, and it's going to have 11 documentaries on it, and it's going to have a TV show about four drug addicts who go to an underground bunker in Montana and they try to renovate it, and you're going to have 10 episodes of that show. Boy, I would have dropped to tears if you would have told me, the me who was me 5 years ago, if you would have told that me, the me that was me 5 years ago, that this is where I would be. would have been a dream come true. I would have cried because I would have thought it was impossible. There was no way it was going to be me, Danny, and Leslie and generating this whole thing. Well, Danny ain't around no more. She's moved on. And that's all good. She was a blessing during that season. Wifey's still here, though. We're still in the same laboratory, though. But so much, I'm not the same me that was the me back then. And how did I get here? And the thing is, if I don't reflect back to that, I don't even really get to enjoy the blessing of where I'm at today. All right, so that was a little tangent, right? Well, let me tell you, over these last 5 years, I have been doing. I've been a human doing, not a human being. Because I was overly attached to the outcome. And the attachment to the outcome causes suffering. And worse than suffering, it's the worst kind of suffering. Unnecessary suffering. See, some suffering is necessary. Some of it is just what it is. It is what it is. And to be human, walking this earth, there's a certain level of suffering that just comes with it. But the unnecessary suffering, the attachment to the outcome. You know, 5 years ago, I couldn't have dreamed of this situation. And here I am, discontent with this situation because of my attachment to outcomes. The other thing about this doing is it creates a dependence on things that are external. It creates a dependence on the results. It creates a dependence on the bank account. Do the bank account need to grow? Maybe. Do the business, does a nonprofit need to get more funds? Yeah. But when I'm dependent on those things, see, this all connects from all the past shows, right? That separation is the illusion. Who told you you had to be perfect? Even from last year, you know, you are the you that does the things you do. You are not your thoughts. So there's this, I'm gonna word this, like there is this higher self, lower self, you know, the spirit and the flesh. There's a me that is the me that's like experience, that's like seeing these things happen. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you've been angry or, and you can see yourself getting angry and you say to yourself, all right, it ain't that big. Don't go there. Don't go there. And then you go there. That's that you, that's that observer. That's the you I'm talking about. And when you take that observer, that spirit, and you connect it to these carnal, worldly, matter-existing things, matter in the form of molecules, right? When you connect it to that, man, you are weighing that spirit down because that spirit needs and wants to fly. You become, and I become, a human doing, not a human being. I think it's rooted in this mindset of I am not enough. You are not enough. That I'm not enough if I'm not doing. If I'm not making impact. if I'm not maximizing my efforts, if I'm not being efficient with my time, and if I'm not these things, right, then somehow there's something wrong with me. I'm not enough. I need these external validations so that I can feel like I'm enough. How many of us are chasing after things that we never really wanted in the first place? Chasing after things that people told us we wanted to want. And we just chasing and suffering unnecessarily to acquire and get to the places and the things that someone told us we wanted to have. And we believe them. You know, in learning about this coaching world, right, and getting trained in coaching and working with people, right, the thing that's most fascinating is not helping them achieve their goals. What's most fascinating is helping for them to heal themselves so that they're free to chase the goal or not. And I have had moments in my spiritual journey where I felt like I was enough and that I was a human being, not a human doing. And I tell you the truth, I was the most effective at doing the things I was doing in those moments in time because I wasn't attached to it. I was just being me. And if I could just be me, then I'm free to do the things that there is to do. You know, you are enough. You are enough for you right now. The you that you are right now might not be enough for the you that's going to be coming in a year or in 3 days. But for right now, you are enough. You know, if you're like training some martial arts, or you're training, or you're learning a new skill, and you're starting off, and you want to become very proficient, right? So it's kind of this paradoxical thing, right? That you are simultaneously enough because you're a beginner. And you're also not enough because you're a beginner. So there's things you got to learn. So if you can just be a beginner and you can just learn and have some humility, you can find yourself in time a master of that skill, a master of that craft. But if when you begin to learn a new skill or take on a new challenge, and you're not perfect and you're not really good at it, and all you can do is see how you're not the thing that you want to be, you're not free to be who you are and be what you are, which is a beginner. If you would embrace fully about being a beginner and embrace the suffering of that, because there's necessary suffering in the beginning of something. We add on this unnecessary suffering because we attach ourselves to the outcome. There is nothing to do. There is no challenge to overcome, no business to build, no goal to meet, no dream to suffer for. And when you realize this, when you really accept it, that's when you are free to do it all. I want to talk about this eternal divine. Some might call it God. Some might call it Allah. You know, metaphors differ. But this eternal divine, it sees you now. it sees you doing things and suffering unnecessarily, or not doing things and not suffering unnecessarily, or avoiding things because you don't want to do things. That's the flip side of this. There's nothing to do. You could take that to the other extreme and don't do nothing. And then you become the identity of not doing nothing. But this eternal divine loves and sees you as you are and fully accepts you. Whatever that thing is, whatever it is, thing isn't even right. Whatever it is, it sees you and accepts you and loves you. I'm pretty certain about that. And this divine, eternal divine, exists in a different, it's not playing these linear games that we play. It's not seeing things like goals and outcomes, and it's not, it's processing stuff in a different way. I like to think of this like, maybe it's an analogy or whatever, but it's like, you know, when we see a certain, like a small percentage of what actually is light, there's a lot of light spectrum. The same thing with sound. We only hear a certain range. It doesn't mean that the other ranges don't exist. Ultraviolet light, right? These other spectrums of light that exist, but we only are seeing a portion of that. This eternal divine is processing all the information, and it still chooses to love you as you are right now. You strung out, loves you. You getting clean, loves you. You full of yourself and full of murderous ambition, loves you. That's radical. Radical. I just said radical. Totally told you what year I was born. It also sees the future you. It also sees the you that you will become. And it's taking all these things into consideration. This is the mystic journey, boy. This ain't the walk to the liquor store and get a 40, boy. This that mystic journey. This that there ain't nothing to do. It's a mystic journey. And if you ain't ready for the journey, boy, don't come along. There is nothing to do. You know what's on the other side of this? It's called being free. Being free. Free to take action. Free to do. Because there ain't nothing to do. So you're free to do. No, you're losing that. You're not getting that. You're not getting that. Maybe you are getting it. I don't know. Ain't nothing to do. This is what I got to offer. This is me. I'm going to tell you this. When I can really let this settle, it's so easy to do. I'm free from what we alcoholics would call the bondage of self. Because the self, that's the one that's really attached to these outcomes. That's the one that's really worried about where we're going, what we're doing. I think of this couple accounts in the life of my guru, Jesus, Yeshua of Nazareth. And there's an account where someone says, you know, I want to come follow you. What I got to do? And Jesus says, you know, basically, are you sure you want to come? Because I ain't got nowhere to live, homie. This is my interpretation, okay? Homie's not in there. But basically, it's like that. It's like, you sure, dog? Because, you know, I don't know where I'm sleeping tonight. You want to follow me? Because the kingdom that I'm working on ain't the thing that you think it is. The kingdom that I'm building, it ain't a building, boy. The place that I'm going ain't the place you think I'm going. I'm going to that cross. And I ain't got nowhere to sleep tonight. You sure you want to follow? or the rich young ruler who says, what I got to do to follow? And Jesus, he ain't playing no games. He sees right through because he is the divine, connected to the divine. The divine in him is one. He sees all the dimensions. He sees all the fabric of reality. He sees all the light spectrums. And he says, boy, I know what you're really asking. And I know what's really going on with you. And he says to him, sell everything you know, everything you own. Sell everything you own and follow. And this guy's very rich. Very rich. He couldn't do it. He walked away sad because he couldn't do it. Because he was so attached to those things. So attached to it all. He was doing. He was a human doing, not a human being. You know, it humbles me because, like, where have I not been willing to follow? Where have I not been willing? Because I was too attached to the outcome. What have I not been willing to do because I want to get something out of this myself? There's nothing to do. When you get to this sweet spot, you find yourself doing a whole lot of things. Because it ain't you who's doing it. It's just you. You just being you. And for those who have ears, I hope they hear. For those that are willing to hold this intention, these two competing thoughts. This is not for the thinking mind, my friends. This is not for the logical thinking mind. Although it does make some logical sense, right? I kind of broke it down logically for you. But really doing it, really living it, you got to get past that and you have to get into that spirit. And maybe you got to wrestle with it, and that's okay. Maybe you're not there yet, and that's okay. So the last thing is, you know, don't take it to extreme. You know, with there's nothing to do, because I've done that as well. But I just don't do nothing. But can I be honest with you? Even when I've not done nothing, something happens and I get an opportunity to do something. Wild, man. This ain't that Tony Robbins, boy. This ain't that Grant Cardone, boy. You know, this ain't that what they teach you, right? You know, I think I've been somebody who's pushed and someone who's learned. And I've gone through the process of learning. And I've learned several disciplines of life. And I've always been somebody who figure it out. Not sure how to do something, I'll figure it out. Not sure how to do this live stream camera thing, I'll figure it out. Not sure how to run an app, I'll figure it out. You know? Because I am somebody who wants to do. I want to be effective. I want to be helpful. And if I am too attached with the result of my helpfulness, I become discouraged, I become irritable, discontent, and I'm not helpful to anybody. So if I can learn to just be, I'll find that I'm much more helpful. If I can let go of the anger that I hold, of the pain that I know, and realize that I was meant to fly, let nothing hold me back and let nothing hold me down, but realize that I was meant to fly. If I can just let go, I'll fly. Well, that's pretty much it. 12-2 weekend. We got the first one funded. So there's some scholarships available if you want to go to 12-step retreat and get some of this in real life in a remote location in Alabama. Holler at your boy. Mystic Mondays meets every week in Atlanta. Spiritual practices. We dive deep into some of this stuff, have conversations. And that's it. There's nothing to do but sign off right now. This message has been brought to you by the makers of the Talk How You Like Posse, the Letter B, and all the beautiful, faithful donors and supporters who make this kind of content available and possible. Thank you for believing in me, for believing in the God in me, and for being willing to help. And thank you for anyone who's made it this far listening. Reach out. How can I help?